Second Chronicles chapter 7. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because of the glory that filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good, and his love endures forever." This one thing that I ask, Lord, this one thing that I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. King David also said, it is better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Yes. Whatever you came in with, whatever feelings of doubt or unworthiness or what you thought church should be or could be, wash it all away right now at the feet of Jesus. It said the fire fell in the temple. Lord, we want your glory to fall in this place. We want this place to be so full of you and your glory, Lord God, that we can barely move. Lord, I don't want to be in any other house but your house. I don't want to be in any other presence but your presence. I don't want to be filled with any other spirit but the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to serve any other name but the name of Jesus. Lord, have your way in this house. Everyone, touch your heart right now. Lord, have your way in this house. Have your way in this house. Fire fall down. Fire fall down and consume the sacrifice. Fire fall down and consume this offering. Though it pales in comparison to the majesty that is the name of King Jesus, we offer it anyway. We say, take everything. Consume it all. Consume it all on your holy altar right now. We give you praise, we give you thanks, and we give you honor, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. There is no name like your name. In your name is salvation. In your name is hope. In your name is truth. No name like the name of Jesus. I cannot help but say, the name of Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Teach us to dwell in your house. Just to stay in your presence and never leave. And as Moses said, I will not go up from here unless your spirit goes with me. We want to be where you are. We want to stay where you are. You are welcome here. You are welcome.
welcome here.
Shift to the key of E, please. Key of E. One thing I ask, and I would seek to see your beauty, to find you in place your glory dwells. One thing I ask, and I would seek to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. Oh, better is one day. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in church, I have a question for you. What does it mean to be a host to the presence of the living God? What does it mean to greet him at the door when he arrives at your house? And you welcome him in. How do things go? What do you do? Do you worry more about the mess? Or are you focused on his majesty and what he wants to do in that moment? I felt the Lord saying, and we may get into it, I don't know yet, to teach what it means to host his presence. And you need to know that we're doing that each and every week. But yes, it's happening here on Sunday in this gathering, but it should happen each and every day of the week. Every single moment. Ask yourself, God, have I been a good host? Well, where I haven't, Lord, strengthen me. Help me to serve you. Help me to minister to you and do what you want to do, not what I want to do. One of the things that I think about as I've taken some time to process this question, and we'll get into it in more detail, I think. But he said when his glory fell and it filled the temple, it said no one could enter in to minister. And we've got so incredibly focused on what it means to minister in a building. And what I felt the Lord saying is, hey, if the house is full and he sends us out, guess what we're bringing with us? His presence, His glory, His goodness, His power, His, everything that He fills that temple with, we're taken with us. We don't need to be stuck inside four walls. We are the living temple of God. We take Him with us. And so if you're full of Holy Spirit, well, that's a good thing. Do something with it. Pour it out and be filled with more. Pour it out and be filled with more. Otherwise, what you contain will grow stagnant. It'll grow stale, become dead. It'll serve no good purpose. He said, how can you be salt if your salt loses its saltiness? If it don't taste good, it just tastes like little crunchy little crystals that doesn't have any purpose. Are you someone who has a purpose? Are you someone on fire for Jesus, as Kathleen was saying? Are you someone that is just so hot for God that you just cannot help but do what He wants you to do and go where He tells you to go and pray what He wants you to pray? Say what He wants you to say to whomever. Are we fulfilling His great commission? Or are we filling our own missions? I love that it's called the Great Commission, because that tells me that He wants to do it with us. I want to go with you. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to make a way where there seems to be no way. You want to go to this country? Awesome. So do I. Let's do it. But we tend to be so limited by what we can do or can't do, what we've seen Him do or haven't seen Him do. And so we base it on our own experience, our own understanding. But He's saying, it's so much bigger than that. But you haven't given me a chance to be big because you've placed me in this small box. Well, I don't know. Whoever's in here needs to bust open that box today. This tissue paper box has one small little hole. He's saying, rip that sucker open right now and let the King of Glory out. Let Him burst forth in every part of your life. Withhold nothing. Are you ready today? Do you know that His presence is here today, right here, right now? I need to encourage you before we jump into the sermon, the message. Do not leave today if you did not get what you came here for. If God said, go to the house of the Lord and be healed, well, brother, sister, you better come up here and get prayed for and be healed. If the word of the Lord came to you saying, go to the house of the Lord, be prayed for so that you could have financial breakthrough, well, guess what? God is not poor. Get your breakthrough. If you came today and you've been praying a prayer like Miss Brenda's been praying for your prodigal to come home, you better not leave before we pray with you. And we agree with you, because God will do it. God is faithful. God will leave every single one of the 99 to chase after the one, and He will see it done. So do not leave until you get what you came for. You want to know what my kids told me the other day? This is an uppercut straight from the Lord, so y'all get ready. Brace yourself. Hold on to something. They said, church is boring. I was like, child of mine, what did you just say? Church is boring. I said, tell me about it. What does that mean to you? I think I need to sit down for this. They said, and you can sit down for this if you need to. They said, in the Bible, God did all this stuff. God is a healer, is He not? God is a savior, is He not? God is a restorer. He's a repairer and a rebuilder of broken things. Someone raise your hand if you're a broken thing. Come on, somebody. Not anymore in Jesus' name. You're restored right now, right now. But what they were saying in their kind of like just a simple, like, church is boring. That's not the God that you told me about. The God that you told me about changes things. And if I don't start seeing things change, then I must be looking in the wrong place, and I want to go to a church where things get changed. Because the God that you told me is real. The God that I have heard about, I've seen him do things. So guess what that tells me? As far as I am concerned, my life, my desire, my expectation is for great big things to happen. And if I get enough people around me that believe that our God still moves, that he is still alive, that that Lion of Judah is still roaring, then some stuff is going to start happening. It can't help but happen. But if we get in our comfortable spaces, we're like, yo, listen, when stuff happens, I get a little bit nervous because I don't know what to do, you know. You are in a good place. You want to know why? Because when you come to the Lord without your idea of how something should happen, and you say, I don't know what's happening, he's like, awesome, let me tell you what's happening. Let me teach you what's happening.
Yes.
You didn't do this. You didn't create this. There's no part of this that has anything of Chris in it. So let me tell you what's happening. Let me show you what's happening. I don't need you to manufacture. I don't need you to tell me what you think about it. Do you like it? Do you not like it? All I need you to do is be a willing vessel that comes to me like this, broken, ready to see the miraculous in your life and in the lives of those that are around you. Are you ready for that today? To which I say, yes! I don't want anything else. My kids don't want anything else. I can't go back. We can't do what we've always done. He's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. And are we going to follow? Are we going to participate? Or are we going to spectate and criticize and judge, control? Y'all, listen, I would rather the Lord take me out than stand in his way. I will not, cannot. I have no desire to stand in the way of God. I want to be in the flow of what he's doing. Jumping in, head first, amen? This place needs to be a beacon of his hope and his power and his presence and his glory. Guys, if we took a little field trip right now and we all walked out the door, I promise you we would not get more than 100 steps and you'd start to feel the presence of the world. You'd start to feel the prince of the power of the air and what he has in mind for the world and what he's doing in this city. Should that persist? Should that continue?
No.
Or does God have another story for us? Does he have other plans?
Hallelujah.
Are we letting him? Infinite in all his ways. He knows exactly what he's doing. And he says, you know what? I need some people to come alongside me and for me to take their hand and for them to take mine and for us to say, all right, let's go do something about it. Let's stop talking about it. Let's go do something about it. Let's go see something change for the kingdom of God. We all have these great ideas. Like, I heard from the Lord, John. And John's like, well, that's fantastic. I'm glad you heard what he's doing. You're proclaiming the news at this point. But until you start putting your feet to the pavement and going and doing what he said, you're doing absolutely nothing. The only thing that's different than you and the other people setting is you said that you heard the Lord, but now you're being disobedient. Thanks, buddy. So can we get up and do something for God? Can we say, God, I've got all these dreams? And he's saying, all right, one at a time. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's see it done. But I don't know how. Awesome. I do. He knows how. He didn't call you because you knew how to do everything. He didn't call you because you had all the skill sets and all the degrees and you're this fantastic Bible scholar and you know the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic. You have perfect pronunciation. No, he used a man that said, but I stutter. He's like, okay, well, I got a mouth for you. He's on his way already. But I can't do this. Throw your staff on the ground. I didn't ask that you could do it. I'm going to do it. The most terrifying part in that whole scenario for me when he was like, hey, throw your staff down. And he threw it down and it turned into a snake. He's like, now pick it back up. And be like, no, Lord. I don't want to. I don't like snakes. I'll hit it with a bunch of stuff. Let me go grab a rock real quick. But I would have to get past my fear in that moment and reach down and pick that sucker up and be obedient and watch it turn back into a staff. We do that. But I don't want to do that. I don't like that, Lord. He said, do it. Do it now. Let's stop telling the Lord no. Let's stop giving him all the excuses. You want to know why? Because then you just become just like Pharaoh and you allow your heart to continue to be hardened and hardened and hardened and hardened to where God can move everything around you and you still don't see what he's doing. Do you want to be in that place or do you want to be in that place that has a heart that is so malleable and so formable that he can mold you into exactly what he wants you to be, exactly what he wants you to do, and he could pour all of those good things into you and you could do something for the kingdom of God? I have another thing to say that is not super popular. But do you want to know one of the reasons why I believe you are still drawing breath? It's because he's not done with you. So are you using each and every one of those breaths that you breathe in wisely? Or have you just been taking it for granted? Well, I feel like, you know, science says I should get about, I don't know, 70 years if I'm lucky. Better live it up. Right? And only when faced with the possibility that your days are numbered do people ever decide to do anything meaningful. Well, newsflash, your days have been numbered already. He knows how many numbers those are. We don't. So can we make the most with the numbers that we have? With every breath that we breathe in, a miracle and a gift from God, and let's do something with it instead of talking about what we want to do with it? Stop wasting those breaths and put them to use. He breathed his breath of life into our lungs. It's a miracle. And so let's tell somebody about the goodness of God. His passion, his fire, his glory. Let us tell them about what he did for them. While we were lost and dead in our sins, and he still chose to die. How he chose to empty himself of all the power that he had that could have done something about it and could have stopped it. But he said, nope, not doing that. I'm going to be perfectly obedient to my Father. Can we stop singing songs that talk about what will be and the good old by and by and start living it right here, right now? I want to stop singing about, I want to fly away, and I want to start moving in the power of God. You know what? He caused a man, an evangelist, to be instantly from one place into another place. You could fly away right here, right now. Word of God says so. That's what my kids are talking about. I was like, hey, hold on a second. You just said that this guy was here, and then now he's there. I don't know about you, Dad, but that either sounds like flight or teleportation. I want that. Right? They're a little bit nerdy like me, so it's fine. They come by it honestly. But that's the God that they learned about, the God that can do that right now, not later. What's the purpose for it later? No purpose. The purpose for it is right now. And I want to diss into all of our popular songs. I know they mean a lot to us. I've sang them thousands of times. But it's hoping and dreaming about something that will be when he says the kingdom is now. So do we believe the words of Jesus, or are our music writers the ones that hold all authority and truth on the matter? I had no plans to say it. We're going to change things up this morning. I want to go ahead and get into our message, but I'd like what the worship team is doing, because we're not going to be here for very long. My wife and a couple other people this, and then my friend that I think is watching online said this, and I was like, how did he know what I said? I've been in church over half my life. And y'all, it's gonna sound real harsh. Please hear the love behind it. I have said in services where what my kids were talking about, there was no power, no nothing. Good messages. Man, I've got all the points written down and checked off, and you know, it was good message, but no power. And y'all, listen, I consume this word so much, and I will not change that. That's not what I'm saying. But we have got to get away from our view of what a church service looks like. And what I'm telling you, as a pastor and a leader, you may come to me and say, I don't like the way service went today. And I'm going to say, well, who cares? Because it was for Jesus, not for you. And I hope you're okay with that, because that's honestly how I feel. I cannot go back to the way church service was. I will not. And so what I'm doing, what I'm asking, and I'm asking our leaders to do the same thing, is when we prepare for a service on Sunday, or whatever day it is, that we say, God, have your way. And if John comes and says, hey, you know what? You asked me to lead this service, but I don't have a message. I'm going to say, okay, we'll just do what the Lord led you to do. And you know, any of the leaders, I'm just using John as an example. But the feel-good messages that don't tell you any truth, that don't bring conviction, that don't bring transformation, that don't cause you to go in the other way through repentance, those messages are junk. They're not worth anything. And I've preached some messages like that. I think if we're all being honest, we've probably all shared some messages like that. I'm done with that. That does not transform. It does not save. It does not... Y'all, listen, for most pastors, call and response messages don't work out too well either. Because there's nothing more disheartening to a pastor where he's like, hey, come up and get prayed for. God is here. And not a single person moves. They stay planted. I know we've been talking about planting and digging up roots, but that ain't the kind of planting and digging down roots that we're talking about. And so that should, by just definition and experience, show us that that is not what we need to be doing. Had this thought, and we're going to get into it in a minute. Everyone was so bent out of shape that Jesus hung out with tax collectors and sinners. Man, all he does is hang out with tax collectors and sinners. He eats meals with them. They nasty, y'all. They didn't like it. They were doing all kinds of complaining. But I feel like when I was talking to the Lord about this, you know what I feel like he told me? He said, you want to know why I hung out with the tax collectors and sinners? I said, yes, Lord, I do. He said, they wanted me. They wanted what I had. I want to go where I'm wanted. I want to be welcome. We're singing songs about Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, but is he really? I feel like sometimes we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Don't do anything that'll cause me to have fear. I don't know if I can trust what you're about to do. So I'm going to put you right here. When we say that he's welcome, we're saying all of you is welcome. And if you're about to blow my mind and kind of freak me out a little bit, you're still welcome. If you're about to change up the schedule and the flow and what I had planned, you're welcome. If you're about to call me out and make me cry like a big old sissy in front of everybody, you're welcome. If you're about to make me run around this church having a little hallelujah and glory party because of what you're doing in my life, you're welcome. If you're about to have me go lay hands on somebody and I don't know if I have the words or the courage to believe what you're going to do, but I'm going to do it because I'm obedient because you said you could do it, you're welcome. The picture of the snake. Some of us will throw the stick down and watch it turn into the snake, but we won't pick it back up because I don't like that. Are we still telling him that he's welcome? And he's still saying, pick it up. Are you with me this morning? Are we following? Are we together? On the bus, amen. It might be a short bus, but we are on that bus. I want to be on the bus. He ate with tax collectors and sinners because they wanted him. How simple is that? Man, I would try to unpack that and grab every concordance I could find, and I'm sure they'd tell me all kinds of different things. But it's as simple as they wanted him. Is that too simple for your theology or doctrine this morning? Or can you receive that? They wanted him. I asked Christy, just because she does this far better than I, and those of you that know her and know this would say, amen, hallelujah. I don't want to go to one of Chris's. But when she's ready to host an event or a party or something, she knows what she's looking for. She has a checklist, if you will, that she runs through and says, these things got to be taken care of in order to be a good host. And so some things that she said, think about who's invited. How many people will there be? Do we have room for them? Where will it be? Is there food and drink going to be provided? Who's doing that? What about the setup and cleanup? Some of y'all ladies in the house say, we need some more help there. Amen. Hallelujah. The setup and cleanup. How much will it cost? Is there a special occasion, a special guest? What are we doing? What's the purpose? And then is there a flow or structure or process to the evening? What are we supposed to do? Why are we gathering? I want to talk about some of these this morning loosely from a spiritual aspect. So kind of train your mind to think that way. But before we go on, I feel led. I asked Christy, I said, what do you think colors this really well? And she was thinking something that I wasn't, and so I'm going to go with her thought because I thought it was so good and timely. But we've got a quick little video. Amen. This was obviously a story that they used in the TV show The Chosen, so we don't have a scriptural record of this. But what I think was beautiful about it, and we see in scripture a few people that had this opportunity, Zacchaeus being one that comes to my mind. When you hear and you open the door and it's Jesus, what thoughts and ideas and things come to your mind? Is it, oh no, things are a mess, I better tidy up? Is it, I don't know if I prepared or planned for all these guests? What is it? What do you think about? The other thing that I appreciated in this depiction, this telling of this type of story, was when she sat down at the table and the rest of the guests were seated, she was saying to Jesus, "Go ahead, lead us." And he said, "This is your house. You lead." Some of us haven't heard that before, or if we've heard it, we haven't believed it. Do you know that Jesus fully trusts you? He said, "I called you. I've given you my Holy Spirit. You are approved. You are chosen. I trust you. You do it." Some of you need to hear that today. You have everything that you need. And as I thought about this question, what could it look like to host the presence of the Lord? A psalm came into mind, and we're going to read the entire psalm, and some people are like, "Oh no," but it's just 5 verses. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5 say, "Shout for joy to the Lord of all the earth." Did it say whisper? Did it say sing with a little bit of reservation? Don't get too loud. Hey, gentlemen at the back, when you have a moment, pull our other lights up if you can. Thank you. But he said, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Have you entered into his courts? Or another way we could say this, have you entered into his house, his tabernacle, with thanksgiving and joy? Maybe your story is today you don't have a lot of things to be joyful about. But I promise you, when you get into the presence of God, you'll find something. Are you ready? Are you willing? I want to read a couple of scriptures that talk about remaining and staying in his presence. I have a slide that I can share later that have all of my scripture references, but I want to turn to Exodus chapter 33 real quick. And we're winding down, so we will not have a lot of time in this. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. The scriptures that I referenced earlier from Chronicles were Chronicles 5 and 14, Chronicles 7, 1 through 10. I felt like the Lord, as I was praying and thinking about this scripture in Exodus that we just read, he said, "I'm looking for some Joshuas. I'm looking for some people that'll remain. I'm looking for some people that'll stay." And the interesting thing that you see here is Moses would return to camp. Now, did Moses have a personal relationship? Well, clearly he did. He said he spoke to Moses, God spoke to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. So there may be times that God is calling you to remain. There are other times that God is asking you to return. Have you asked him, "Lord, what should I do? What's my season? Am I in a waiting season? A lot of people don't like the waiting seasons. Those aren't all that fun. Or is it a going season? And you've kind of got things flipped around. You're waiting when you should be going, or going when you should be waiting. The key thing there is, have we asked? The beauty there is that we can have, through Jesus, exactly what Moses had. That the Lord would speak to us as he speaks to a friend, face to face. If you don't have that kind of communication with the Lord, let us pray for you. Do not leave this place, because I believe firmly that every person is able to hear the voice of the Lord. God speaks. He is still speaking. And he doesn't pass it through just some guy up here at a platform on a Sunday. He wants to speak to each and every one. Amen? These are the full scriptures that are based on what we were talking about today. The last thing I feel led to share, because what I shared earlier, I think, cover all of the points. But the Lord brought to my mind Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. I'm going to go ahead and read that. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them onto your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." And in Luke chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus said, when asked what the commandments or the greatest commandments were, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And what I felt the Lord say to me in this process, part of the key of really getting into hosting him and understanding how to move that way, it ties in with what Pastor John was saying, is, you know, where you focus so much on the truth that you forget to focus on spirit, and he's bringing us back to that middle place where they're equally important. But he said some only want to know the Lord with their mind. Some only want to love me with their mind. That's just knowledge. That's head knowledge. And you've met those people. You might have been those people. Man, you can quote every scripture there is under the sun, but it has not moved from here to here. It's not alive. It's not doing anything. And it ties with what my kids were saying. Man, church is boring. Well, we're reading the scriptures, but it hasn't come alive. Do you see that? Do you want it to remain that way? I hope not. But he says you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. He wants that sozo love, that spirit, soul, and body. Your soul consists of your mind, will, and emotions. He wants all of you. And so when you say, "You're welcome here," he gets it all. Not some, not just your mind, not just your emotions. Let me touch on that for a moment. Some people want to come in here and they want to feel it. Like, if they're not crying, if they're not boohooing the entire time, then God didn't move. That is purely emotion-based. Can you see that? That's not how you know if God's here. Did people get transformed today? That's a better metric. Did some lives get changed? Were you set on a different path? That pushes past all the emotion, regardless of how we felt, regardless of what we thought things should go, and that says, did God get glorified? Was he glorified? Because what I think does not matter. What I feel does not matter. Are we going to be a people who are obedient? And are we going to be a people that say, "God, did what you want get done today?" Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly or diligently seek him." You need to know today that if you seek him, if you want to be a host of his presence, he will answer you. Let me give you that one real quick. Sorry, I had little notes that I added midway through. I don't know if this one was on there, but another scripture reference here, Revelation 3:20. It says, "Here I am." This is Jesus, words in red. "Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Some of us just leave it there. Some of us have the Ring doorbells. Bing bong! Someone's at the front door and you don't budge. Jesus is knocking at the door. Jesus is ringing the doorbell. Are you answering? Or are you more concerned with what he's going to ask you to do than you are with just being obedient and hosting him? Saying, "Whatever you want, Lord, you are welcome. Have your way, Lord." The last one I have here. Philippians 3, 7 through 17. I'm not going to read all of it. I love the heart of Paul here. He said, "Whatever gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." Hear his heart's cry. Is this yours? Verse 10, "I want to know Christ." Yes. "To know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so, somehow, attaining to the resurrection from the dead." Not that I have already obtained this. I said I wasn't going to read it all, but I am. "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." All of us, someone say all, who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Do you believe that? You know what that says? That says unity. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, you should do something about it. They should do something about it. He would. God will make clear to you. Kathleen, did God clear up your dream? Did God clear up what your dream meant? Yes. Isn't that interesting? He does what he says that he can do. Verse 16 and 17, "Only let us live up to what we have already attained." Join together, someone say together, in following my example, brothers and sisters, just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Keep your eyes on Jesus and keep your eyes on those who live as they do. Who are you following? Who's your tribe? Who's your family? Who's your crew? Who understands? Who listens? Who helps? Don't just hang around the people that tell you everything that you want to hear. You need some people that love you enough to be bold and say, "Hey, stop it. That is not the path you need to go in. That's not what you need to do. That's not who you are or whose you are. If you don't have that accountability in your life, I encourage you to find that accountability. Some of them may exist in this very room. Ask God. He'll make it clear. Amen? Can we stand together? Can we get some instruments? The worship team may sing the whole song and you can stay and linger. But what I'd like to do together while we're all still here as a way to honor the Lord and send us out from here. A lot of themes, a lot of things to chew on. I encourage you to go back and listen if you missed anything. Much of this was not fully in my notes, and so you're going to want to watch and take notes if you miss something. But today is a new day. And God, as we've been saying, is doing a new thing. And he wants to prepare us, and he wants to set us up for success in him. Now, that's not to minimize that you may still have questions, and so I have good news for you. Next Sunday, is that the 23rd? Next Sunday, the 23rd, we're going to have a meal right after service. And in that meal, that's set up, we're going to have an anonymous box with some papers that you can write out questions, things that have been burning on you. You can bring them with you, too, for all that matters. But you can write out questions, and we're going to answer as many of those as we can, to give you clear vision, clear direction, answers to your questions. If we can't answer it then, we'll answer it later. But the point is, do not miss your opportunity to ask, what's going on? Where are we going? Some of that will start to become more evident in these services, the way that we function, the way that we're going, and we'll be as descriptive as we can. But sometimes you just still have questions that aren't covered in a service. And so make sure that you ask your questions. And then remember that you can always ask Christy and I anytime. As we send you today, I want to encourage you in the Lord. He has plans for you. He hears you. And he is speaking to you. One of the scriptures that I had on the screen this morning, I encourage you with it. He says, while you are yet speaking, I have heard you and I have answered you. You can't even get the words out and he already took care of it. That's the God that you served. And so one of the songs that they sang in practice this morning that is kind of echoing in my heart and my mind, that I believe we all can lift him up because it's well known, but it's just simply the chorus of how great is our God. Can we sing that as we are sent this morning? Just sing with us, and you are dismissed as you need to.